this morning, the songs that we've been singing is all about invitation. When we're invited to a space or a place, it's just an invitation to next. You never know where the invitation is going to fully lead. When I invited my girlfriend to be my wife, we had no idea that it would lead us to Lewiston, Idaho. But we accepted the invitation. And God has given us an invitation today. So that might be in this place where I don't even know God. I'm not sure who he is. But he's inviting you to say, I want to have a relationship with you, and I love you a lot. And so it's just an invitation. But it's the invitation from God. It might be that you're here with physical issues or emotional issues or relational issues. God says, come unto me. It's an invitation. All who are weary and heavy laden. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you rest for your souls. So the beautiful thing about God is this. Wherever you're at, he's got an invitation for you. No one's excluded. If you're questioning and you're doubting, he says, I want to invite you to me. So this morning, I just felt the Lord through the music saying, Mike, just tell the folks I got an invitation for them. And so now the answer is real easy. Yes, not now, or no. It's not complicated. It's just yes, maybe later, or no. But I felt like there's some folks here today who want to say yes today. They want to say yes to the invitation. So wherever you're at in life right now, what I love is physical demonstrations of a inward belief. So what I was doing this morning as we were singing was I was lifting my hands and I was saying yes to the invitation. I have no idea where the Lord's going to lead it, but I trust him enough to know it's going to be in a good place. So would you join with me in my yes? Or how many of you would like to join with me on the yes to the invitation and just say, I'm going to lift up one or both hands because he's got an invitation specifically for you. We say yes, Lord. Look at this, Lord. Look at your folks. Look at the folks. Lord, we just say yes to the invitation of the King. We say yes, Lord, to the invitation to healing. We say yes, Lord, to the invitation of deliverance and freedom. We say yes, Lord, to that place of intimacy. Father, we say yes to the invitation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who knows everything about us, and he fashions the invitation according to who we are and where we're at. And Lord, we trust that where it's going to lead us, because David said, you led me to good places. My boundary lines are on good places. So Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds or the next week or the next month, but this invitation today, we know it's going to lead us to your purposes and plans. And all we do is say yes. Three-letter words got great power. Would you say Y-E-S with me to the Lord? Just say yes. Yes. Yeah. Did you sense that? Did you feel that, just that little bit of a release? Let's do it again. Lord, you got our yes. Some of you here this morning, you're worried about family and kids. Hey, listen, he's inviting us to lay that before him because he cares more about your family and kids than you do. And so, Lord, we're not going to worry. We're just going to trust you by saying yes. Yeah. We trust you. Yes, we do. Tomorrow morning, you're going to get an invitation. And the Lord's going to invite you in relationship. Just start your morning with, instead of, "Good Lord, it's morning," start with, "Good morning, Lord. You got my yes today." And see what He wants to do, not only today, but throughout the weeks, just by saying yes. Right? So could you turn to someone right now and just say, "Hey, God's got my yes. Make sure He's got your yes." Would you? And bless them in Jesus' name right now. And let's thank the worship team. Good job, guys. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you. Josh.
Jesus. Thank you, worship team. That was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. So good. You know, as Mike was sharing, it just sort of brought a story to mind. Does anybody remember the king? It's in Matthew 22, the king that invited some special guests to a banquet, to a feast. And it said that in the story goes that they didn't actually show up. The first people that got the invitations didn't show up. So the king instructed those who were serving him to go out to the streets and to pull people in. And that's a picture of favor. It's a picture of favor because those that deserved or received the first invitation, those who were qualified, they didn't come. And so His favor goes out to those who weren't invited. I felt like this morning the Lord wanted to address this idea or this concept of favor. I think sometimes in church when we say favor, we start to sort of feel like, okay, this is the prosperity gospel. God really wants to favor you. But as sons and daughters, His favor rests on us. This morning as we spent time together in His presence, in that glory realm that Jesus paid the highest price for, we find that His favor is available. And so the invitation that Mike said in the morning when you wake up is actually to step into favor. And I don't know, I'll just leave this here and then I'll just minister this and then we'll keep moving. But favor isn't earned in the kingdom. That's so backwards. That is literally not how the world works around us, right? But in the kingdom, we have, and I can put it this way, we have our daddy's favor. It means His eyes are on us. Why? Because of what we do for Him? No, because He loves us. I've heard people say this before. Mike Bickle, I think, says this. This is a scandalous exchange. What in the world is happening here? So this morning, I just want you to come face to face with the favor of the Lord in your life. He is drawn to you. He is wooed by you. So often when we sing worship songs, I'm like, I'm singing that song to the Lord, but I know He's singing it right back to me. And so I really want us to, even if this morning you're like, "Josh, I have no idea what you're talking about." Or if you're like, "Yes, Josh, yes, preach it." Wherever you are in between those two extremes, God has favor on your life. And let's just do this together by faith. Let's step into favor, an adventure with favor with the Lord, and see what He'll do. So, Father, we thank You for the room, the space, this intimate space where You are with us, where that confidence of what we were singing, that if we show up, then You show up. That's just the way it works. And the truth is, you show up even when we don't. So, Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your favor on our lives. Holy Spirit, You lead us into all truth. Help lead us into truth where Your favor rests on our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So good. Okay. Well, I want to do, I got a couple announcements that I want to share, but before we do that, I want to do some offerings. So do we have the offering decree up there? I got some cool testimonies this week, just of jobs and better jobs and raises and bonuses, and I'm not going to actually share those specific stories, but I just wanted to encourage you that when we make this declaration over our finances, that the Lord takes it seriously. Even if we're just like, you know, and we're just declaring it, like the Lord is actually on this. And again, this is you having to come in touch with the favor of God on your life. So if you want to stand up, stand up. If you want to put your wallet in the air, your whatever that looks like, let's declare this out over our finances this morning. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So good. So Home Depot buckets on the way over here during the sermon. You know where to put them. So I just encourage you to do that. You know, if a point that Mike is making is really good, maybe come up and encourage him by dropping some stuff in the bucket. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No. I'm just kidding. Psych. Joke. Okay. Not a good one. All right. Let me share a couple of announcements with you really quick, and as we keep trucking through. But we have one. So who's had just? I'm just curious. Who has had some really good fruit from so far from the 21 day fast that we've had? Just real quick. I'm just curious. Beautiful. I love that. So good. So if you're like, I have not been fasting, there's 7 days left. So we still have 7 more days to go. And so I wanted to just make an announcement that just and a reminder, really, that next week we are going to break that fast with a feast here. And so that'll be in the fireside room. Is it here? Oh, in the sanctuary. Even better. Okay, cool. It'll be here. Not in the fireside room, at 10 o'clock, at normal times. It's going to be amazing. And then also, if you haven't got a chance, I have a few that are up here as well. But if you wanted to grab a devotional just to sort of be guiding you through the last week of the fast, you're welcome to grab them. They're also on the table right straight through the doorway there. And, the last thing. Okay, so again, I'm curious. This is me cheating because I can see all of you. Has anybody inquired of the Lord for a word for 2023? Cool. Very cool. So I don't know. Do we have a? Oh, yeah, we do. We have the QR code. Okay, beautiful. So I want to just, like, we want to collect these. Here's what I believe. I believe that we are prophetic people. I believe, as we were declaring this morning in worship, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Lord is doing. So if you pull your phone out, yes, you can pull your phone out in church. That works. And you open your camera and you put it in front where this is a QR code, it will actually create a link on there. And you click on the link, and then you fill out the form and you share the word that the Lord is sharing. We really want to steward the word of the Lord. It's really important that we steward the word of the Lord. Now, if you get a word that is actually like more like many words, praise God. Details are good, right? If you get just one word, man, you can stand on that one word. You can partner with heaven for that one word. So I just want to encourage you guys, that we're going to collect these and to really ask the Lord what he wants to do in 2023. So this family, we can be moving towards the heart of God and what he is showing us. So and we're going to do that. I have a deadline on here. Let me read this. I think it's next week, right? Was that our deadline? So the deadline for your word of the Lord is next week. Although he can talk extracurricularly if it's beyond that day, just as a form of encouragement for you guys. Also, contribution statements. If you're interested in getting your contribution statement, they're available in the lobby, and you can see Deanna. And then the last one I wanted to point out was Marriage 365. So on Friday, January 20th at 6:30, Nathan and Becky Glass will be facilitating because Jeff and Jacqueline are away, probably enjoying, I don't know, I mean, you're, hello, Jacqueline and Jeff. How are you guys? You know, they usually jump on. Yeah, a little whoop-whoop. We hope you have an amazing time, that you're recharged and refreshed and get a great chance to connect with family. Marriage 365 is awesome. I don't know if that's a resource that you've ever tapped into before, but I want to encourage you to do that. You're welcome to see me or Tiffany. We subscribe to Marriage 365. It's a website. It's an incredible resource for marriage and for growing in, you know, your intimacy together and with the Lord, which is beautiful. So you're welcome to ask me if you need reading here. Yeah, I think that's it. I covered all of it. We're covered. Yes. Yak tomorrow. What time? Tonight. What time? 7:00. Yak tonight, 7:00. Jesus, we pray that you get them really good tonight, that that young adults would encounter the presence and glory of a living God in a radical, transformative way, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kiddos, why don't we have the kiddos come on up, and we'll bless them this morning as they get ready to take off for Sounders. So Sounders, come on up. Come on up. They're making their way up. Here we go. Whoop, whoop. Yes. Sweet. Okay. Let's extend a handout this morning. Father, we thank you that these ones will move mountains and shake the earth with faith and your goodness and your glory. So we bless them this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for teachers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Mike, come on up, man. Let's hear the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord. Hey, good morning. So happy to see you. Thank you for being here. It's a big deal whenever we gather. Don't minimize just coming to church, because where two or three have gathered, I'm there. And he says, where two or three agree, I will do, my Father will do. Anything is possible when we gather together. Tell somebody that next to you. Anything's possible today. Anything. Anything's possible. Yeah. Dean, can I catch you after, right afterwards, buddy? Or you want to say something? You've got some good news. Give it to you real quick, baby.
Your team got lucky getting my Seahawks yesterday.
I think that the score proved it wasn't luck, my friend. And there was a division in the church that fast. Yeah, for you Seahawks fans, wow, here we go, and we're off. Hey, hi to Jeff, hi to Jack, if you're watching. Also, there's a dear, I call her Mother Mary, because she comforts me, Mary Lawson, and she has been out with some physical ailments. Can we all just shout, we love you, Mary Lawson? Can we do that together? We love you, Mary! And also, those of you who are online, we've got a number of our folks that are not able to attend. We love you. Thank you for being a part of it this way. In fact, very few people watch on Sunday, but Tuesday through Friday, we get probably, I think, about 100 hits. Tuesday through Friday, which that's not legal because you've got to come on Sunday only. That's what Jesus said. But, hey, listen, man, I am so glad you guys are here again. And also, last week, we're on stewardship right now, and Jeff led us into just a wonderful message. If you didn't get a chance last week to hear it for whatever reason, go to our YouTube channel, Echo Hills Church, and you can listen to it or maybe listen to it again. But one of the things that he offered was a book called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And he says, Jacqueline and I want to buy this for you, not just to have another book in your library, But if we want to really learn to be discipled into stewardship, we want to get that book. And so I texted Deb and I said, hey, let's get in on this. Let's buy a book. You know, we'll do that. And she goes, sure, let's do it. And then somebody else came up to Jeff and said, hey, we want to help buy books as well to help people be discipled in this area. And I thought how beautiful it was that generosity started flowing as Jeff was talking about stewardship. And so this month, we're dealing with this area called stewardship. And I'm going to pick up a little bit from where Jeff left off. But dear ones, if you would like to read a book, it's called The Blessed Life, on how to steward finances, I would really encourage you to get this. I bought this book a number of years ago, and it really did a transformative work in my life when it comes to the area of stewarding money, possessions, things. Fully biblical. And so, see Deanna, could you wave? Where's Deanna? See Deanna? There's Deanna right there. If you want a book, please let us know. Jeff ordered some, but we had a tremendous response of people that said they want to be a part of that. We also had a number of people who were talking about maybe doing some stewardship on how to get out of debt. Amen. Right? Because you might want to say, man, I want to be generous to God, but I owe my soul to the company store. That Tennessee Henry Ford for you older folks. But we might not be able to because we have extended our credit. We've extended our finances to points where it's just going out somewhere. And so we want to teach you how to steward finances well before the Lord. So we're going to continue this this topic, the subject. I'm going to pull some thoughts, a few thoughts from this book called The Blessed Life. But as we are moving into this series of stewarding our lives well, it's important to recognize that Jesus is committed to discipling us in every area of life. And for the next about 20 minutes, hopefully 25, one of the topics that he talked about the most in discipling people was money, possessions, and things. So Jesus knew that one of the common things that we are going to have to deal with as human beings to various degrees is how do we handle money? How do we handle possessions? Jesus talked about this more than he talked about heaven. So if our master knew that a common thing we would all need to deal with is money, then we need to lean into it as well. Because he's committed in not only discipling our spiritual life, he's committed to discipling us in every area of life. Can you say amen to that? Okay? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 in just a moment. We're going to focus on verse 24. But one of the verses that that is a great verse and a great topic is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul tells Timothy in one of the verses, he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that's probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible, because I've heard it said a lot, money is the root of all evil. And money is not the root of all evil. Money is a medium by which we give our time and our efforts into a job, and that money, we get money back, and that helps us pay bills. Money is just a medium by which we live. Paul didn't say money was. He says the love, the avarice of money. When our hearts go for money in an unhealthy way, that is a root of all kinds of evil. So where you see human trafficking taking place, why is that taking place? The love of money. Where you see drugs being brought into a community that are destroying lives, why is that happening? It's because of the love of money. Where you see nations dominating other nations to get their resources, where is that coming from? It's coming from a root of the love of money. So we are going to talk about money today. Yay. Right answer, but how's your heart really? And we want to talk from the biblical, we want Jesus to disciple us. And he does it really well. And here's a great, great topic on it. It's Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at one verse, and then we're going to back it up just a little bit, and then we're going to finish the rest of the chapter, and we're going to do it really quick. And I'm looking for a number of words that might awaken your heart where you can say, I identify with that. Yeah, I struggle with that. Yeah, I wrestle with that. Or no, I don't have a problem with that. But Jesus can really show us through his word this area of, do we have money? Old phrase, do we have money or does money have us? You ready to go? Let's do some work together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one, say those two words with me. No one, that means you and I, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then he says this phrase, you cannot serve both God. And in my translation, it's the word money, and it's capitalized. So Jesus is not talking about this. He's talking about a person. You can't serve God and money. Now, the old King James has this word that we very rarely use, and the word is mammon. Has anybody ever heard that word? Okay, you can't serve both God and mammon. So the question has to be, who is mammon, or what is mammon? So let me tell you who mammon is. Mammon was a god that the Assyrians borrowed from the Babylonians. And this god was name was Mammon. And this god, Mammon, promised people, if you worshiped it, it promised you things that only God can provide. So this name Mammon, let me give you the definition of the name of this god. What it means. It means this. It means riches, possessions, money, and property. Now, how many know that God wants to provide all those things for his children? We make the declaration, right? God, inheritance, da-da-da-da. God wants to provide this for us. But what Mammon says is that you receive this through me, not through God. Someone give me a nod. Someone, yeah, okay. So Mammon, and here's the key phrase. The key phrase in the definition of this word. Mammon says this, I am the treasure you can trust in. That's what Mammon says. I'm the treasure you can trust in. I found $5 the other day. Still got it in my pocket. And on the back of this $5 bill, it says, in God we... The question I ask is, which God are we talking about? It's a good question. Which God are we talking about as a country? Who are we trusting? Because money says, Mammon says this, I can promise you things if you trust in me. I can promise you things, and as followers of Jesus Christ, it tries to replace God by saying, trust me and don't trust God. So Mammon says this, I promise you that if you trust me, I can give you security. I can give you significance. I can give you identity. I can give you independence. I can give you power, and I can give you freedom. Mammon says, if you've got enough of me, I can insulate you from the problems of life if you have more of me. Now, who is the person truly that can give us identity? It is Jesus, God, same thing, right? Who is the true person who gives us freedom? It's God, it's Jesus. See, who gives us real power to live? Who really gives us significance? It's God. But I'm telling you, dear ones, money is being talked to us all the time through media, through books, through movies, through everything, that if you just have more of this, your life's going to be great. I'm tired of the Facebook people who are traveling to places I can never go, can't afford it, and their life is perfect because they got more of this than I've got. And money talks. It speaks to us. And it says, if you will give your life to me, I will make you significant. I will make you powerful. I will give you freedom. I will give you everything your heart's desire. And that only comes from God. I was a young man in Vegas, and I was teaching a men's group, and one of the guys in my group would go to police auctions, and he would buy vehicles, fix them up, and sell them. And after the men's group, he goes, come outside, I want to show you the car I just bought. And dude, it was a car. It was a cool car. And he goes, Mike, you want to drive the car? I go, yeah, okay, yeah, man. So I get in the car, and I said, I'm just going to drive it around the church parking lot, you know, this one time. And as I'm driving this car, it was sweet. It was leather, had all the gadgets. It was a cool, I look good, right? As I'm driving the car, I'm driving this, and I see some guys that are at the church steps. And as I'm driving by, they're looking at me in the car. And here's what I did. I slouched down. I put my hand on the steering wheel like this, and I gave him a sup. Drove past him, put my hands like this, got out of the car, and I go, what the heck was that, Richardson? That car didn't make you a better person or a cooler person. It's just a car. But it's very subtle how money wants to talk to us. It's very subtle. I read a survey once, or a study that was done, and they were asked people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, what does it mean to be wealthy? How do you know you're rich? So they asked people who made $25,000 a year, what would it be if you were rich? How would you know if you're rich? And the answer was, if I made $50,000 a year. And they asked people who made $50,000 a year, how do you know if you're rich? If I made $100,000 a year. They asked a person who made $1 million a year, or people, how do you know if you're rich? If we made $2 million a year. And they asked a billionaire, how do you know if you're rich? You have $1 billion. If I have $2 billion, now I'm rich. Wherever you're at right now, if you double it, now you're okay. Now there's no problem. Now you're rich. But the problem is, if you get there, if you get to 100,000, you're not going to be happy until you get to 200,000. Because the human nature and the voice of money says it's never enough. So when Jesus is talking about money, he's not talking about how much you have, he's talking about your heart. The condition of your heart. And he says some very stark words. And he says this, going back up to verse 24, he says this. No one can serve two masters. This word serve means to be devoted to or to obey. So Jesus said, you cannot obey two masters. You can't obey money and you can't obey me. You've got to choose who you're going to obey. And then he begins a progression of what it looks like on who you choose to obey. And he uses these words. He says, either you will hate the one. Now, how many can say you do not hate God? If your hand's not raised, let's talk a little bit afterwards, right? Right? This word hate doesn't mean I despise you. This word hate means I love you less than something or someone else. So it's not like, God, I don't like you. It's like, I love God. But hatred in God's eyes is that if you put something or someone else before him, that is hatred. You'll either hate the one or love the other. And the word love is agape, which means a rational love, where you're choosing to love that. Jesus goes on, the progression. He goes on to say, we will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So in this process, we will be devoted, which means
we treat that one as an equivalent, that that's what's most important to our lives. And the word despise means I don't think or I don't esteem that as highly as I should. And Jesus says, if you get to that point, you cannot serve both God and money. So he's drawn a line in the sand because he recognizes as human beings that money, if not paid attention to and not treated in the biblical kingdom way, money can begin to slow fade our hearts away from God instead of a full devoted heart to God. Y'all okay? You kind of look at me like, I know what you're looking. I'm listening and I'm drinking it in, Mike, because it's brilliant. Thank you. Money is this. Think about, and here's what happened to me at times in my life. When there's a financial crunch, is your first response toward God? Or is your first response is, I need more money? So Deb and I were in a season where I didn't have a job back a long time ago, but we had three young kids and a house payment. And I used to have dreams of I would be on the street corner with Will Preach for Food, with my kids with Burger King bags. I would literally have dreams like this because we didn't know how we were going to make it. So my mind went here. If I just won the lottery, maybe God wants to use the lottery as a source for me to get out of this financial pressure. The other thing I actually did is I entered the publishing clearinghouse prize reward. I entered in thinking $5,000 at that time, $5,000 a week for life. I'm set. God's going to use Ed McMahon at that time to come to my door, knock with a big check. And oh, God, thank you for provision. And all I got was a ton of magazine subscriptions. That's all I got. I used to fantasize about that relative that I never knew, but they died. And all of a sudden, out to my door was this, Mike, Uncle Bill. Who's Uncle Bill? I don't know Uncle Bill. Well, he left you in your will, and here's $2 million. Yahoo! That's what I, true confession, I began to fantasize in how to get out of debt, not through God, but through money. So God is not ashamed. God is not intimidated. God is not afraid to talk about money. What he wants to do is this. Where is our heart when it comes to faith in God or faith in money? When things get a little tight, what's the first thing we cut? Is it our trust in God or is it our trust in money? When we hear the news report, we are in a recession going to a depression where chicken we used to buy at Costco for $11 is $24 now a bag. Woo, that's a big deal, or $22. That is a big deal. But where are we going to put our trust? In God we trust or in God we trust? So Jesus does a transition word going from what he just talked about to what we are to do and what we're to avoid. And he does it by this one word, therefore. Therefore, what I just talked about, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give us all a clue. If you and I are struggling with in God we trust or in God we trust. And he does it by saying it five times or six times in the next few verses. And you ready for it? Here's the word to know if we have a clue if we're struggling with mammon. It's the word worry. Are we worried about where the economy is going? Are we worried if we have enough? And Jesus said, talking to a people that, here's the phrase, food insecurity was a real deal. These people that he's talking to did not have a Costco where you can buy 60 gallons of olive oil. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have storage. And he's talking to people that if they didn't work that day, they don't eat that night. And he says this, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Don't worry about that. Now, this word worry is interesting because it means this. It means to divide ourselves into different parts. It means that one part over here says yes, and another part over here says yes, and we're torn between the two. It means to have an unhealthy mindset of anxiety, to be anxious about. That when Jesus says worry, it's not don't worry, be happy, don't worry, be happy. This isn't that we are not concerned with what's going on in our world, but we don't allow this to be the greatest voice. We allow him to be the greatest voice, no matter what time of life we're in. And so he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. And he directs their attention, and I would love for you to do this today. As you leave this building, look at the sparrows. Because he says, look at the sparrows. Your Father, he takes care of them. They don't harvest. They don't plant. But your Father knows that they need food, so your Father takes care of them. And then he says, aren't you of greater value than a sparrow? What's the answer? Correct. Look at the sparrows. Look at the birds flying. Look at those geese that come over and drop things on your car. Look at the birds. God says, Jesus said, my Father takes care of them. And then he goes, look at the lilies of the field. They don't labor, they don't spin, but even Solomon in their splendor is not as wonderful as this. And in Solomon's day, in Jerusalem, silver was like rocks. That was the golden age of Israel in Solomon's reign. They were wealthy beyond words. And he uses Solomon to let them know, even in that culture, your Father knows what you need now, and he's not going to let you down. So Jesus is continually going and discipling us into this. Where is our heart when it comes to money? Because this has a, not this, but mammon has a voice that is trying to lure us to say, hey, man, take that extra overtime. Neglect your family a little bit because you'll get more stuff. You'll get more money. You'll have more security. You don't know. Mammon says this. Listen, mammon says, if I give this away and I don't have it, what happens if I come into a situation where I need that, but I don't have it anymore? Now I'm stuck. Where God says, hey, man, give it away generously and trust your dad. Amen. I'm almost done, really am. I'm teaching a class on Revelation tonight, 5 o'clock. We're in Revelation 8, second part. Think about this, guys. Think about it. And I'm going to open a can of worms. I'm going to close it real fast. Revelation 13 says that the way the Antichrist controls nations is through mammon. You can't buy or sell unless you have identification with his way of doing things. He's using this to control the world. When God says, hey man, be generous. So my wife and I, since we were young, he's got this great mechanism to see if mammon's got too much of a place in our heart, and he calls it tithing. I'm not a legalist tither guy. I'm a guy that says, Jesus, it's all yours. I get to keep 90%. Thank you very much. But tithing is not for me something I do like a Shiite. I don't do it like I have to do this. I do tithing because it puts in check the voice of mammon that yells at me and says, what happens if the economy turns south and you don't have money and you live on the generosity of people, and what if they choose not to give and now you're stuck and you're going to end up broke? Okay. You got it, Lord. I've been holding on to five. I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me who to give it to. Yeah, I see that hand. Okay, no one here, not yet. So Jesus says, don't worry about this, and then he tells us what to do. In the latter parts of the verses, he says this. He goes, the world, the pagans, they run after this thing. They seek after it. That's all they talk about. That's what's most important in their lives. Is how do I provide? How do I have more? How do I make sure? How do I've got a college fund? And all these things are important. But when that becomes our priority other than our love for Jesus Christ, that's where it's taking a wrong place. Eventually, we'll begin serving that and not Jesus. So in this, he says, don't run after all these things. Why? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. Guys, God knows everything you need, and he fashions it just for you. God is not a distant father saying, I have no clue what's going on. He is a father in Matthew 6 earlier, where Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows everything you need before you even ask. He knows financially where you're at. Don't worry. He'll take care of this. But he says, now here's what we are to do. You guys know Matthew 6:33? Seek first the and his and will be unto. Do we trust the Father with that? See, that's the question. Seek first how God deals with money. Seek first how God, what God thinks about money. Let that be the first priority. If you don't know, amen, we can disciple that. We can teach. We can all learn and grow into this, because if you were not raised in this place where tithing and giving generously was part of your family of origin, this can seem like bizarre and weird. But when you understand the love of God and the importance of who you're going to serve, it becomes now then, how do I do this? And Jesus says, let your first priority in wherever you're at in the journey, let the kingdom and how my kingdom operates, not the systems of the world, operate. Because to be honest with you, I still don't get that if I give away a portion of my money, I get more. I have more. I don't know how that works. But I trust my Father that he said, if I do this, I promise you, everything you need, food, clothing, a place to stay, I will take care of that. Because you are seeking first, not only how my kingdom works this way, but the right way to live. It's righteousness. So what's running through our heads right now? What thoughts are going through our minds? So if my mind is, man, if I just had more money to give, then I would. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said, if you reach this threshold, start giving. He honored a woman who gave 3 copper coins. It's not somebody could give this. It is this, Lord, from my heart, here's 25 cents. I'm doing it unto you. And he goes, well done. Good job. Now let's continue to grow in a heart that's kingdom and not the systems of our world. And then he ends it by saying this, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough concerns for itself. So in the context, he's talking about money, right? So he's talking about, where will the economy go? Will I have a job in the future? He says, don't worry about that. Deal with the issues today. Because here's how I live, and I'll present this to you. I live by grace. I get grace for salvation, but I also get grace for the day. I don't get tomorrow's problems. I don't get that grace today. I get that grace tomorrow. So I live today needing the grace for the day, recognizing tomorrow there's going to be grace for me to deal whatever tomorrow holds, because that's the promise. So when I go into my tomorrows without grace, the number one thing that happens, at least in my life, is I worry, because I don't have grace for tomorrow. I've got grace for today. And so do you. I'm done. 28 minutes. I think a reward should be given to me.
Maybe the Lord wants to give me the $5. Ha, ha, ha. Here's what I want to ask. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest of heart. James chapter 5 says, confess your faults one to another that we may be healed. We confess our faults to Jesus to be forgiven. We confess our faults to each other for healing. Isn't that amazing? The importance of community. So this morning, worship team, can you come up? Wherever you're at, where you guys, can you come up? And sing something that is whatever you want. Sing Eddie Money's song, Money, 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 Money. No, sorry. Come on, stay with me. Hang with me, come on. Money, 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 money. I wanted to use a lot of language to hook. Hey, I don't deal with that, but I deal with this. I don't worry about that, but I worry about this. That's not an issue for me, but this is. And the thing is that it's in all these different words that Jesus uses, it's for us to be discipled into freedom and to love and to hope and to faith. That trust in him says, I even trust you with my income. Now, how do I live that out? We'll get you a book, The Blessed Life. We have people in our church who can help teach you on practical ways to do this, because we just want to say, hey, do this and leave you there. We want to disciple you into a life of freedom that's found from money. So my hand has gone up because I have been wrestling with some stuff in my heart about finances for a while now. And I don't want to get into all that. It's from my past. I confessed it to our elder board. I confessed it to Jeff. So this message is for me before it's for you. So when I say, Lord, I need to be discipled in trust with money, mine is the first hand to go up. Not to try to manipulate or get you to raise your hand, but to recognize that voice is really loud in our culture. Mammon shouts at us. Are you going to have enough money for this? Are you going to have money? What if this happens? What if that happens? And it creates a system of worry instead of the Father, I trust you. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust you. So I'm confessing to you my fault that I may be healed. Anybody else would like to join me and say where mammon has been like a voice in my head, there's worry, there's anxiety about it, and I just want to today walk in healing that will continue for the rest of my life. And if I don't know how to do something, I'm going to learn how. So my hand's raised. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Okay. Would you stand with me for a moment? The cool thing about Jesus, he saw the hand, but he also saw the heart. And he's discipling us into freedom. He knows that when the Avista bill comes, you can't say paid by faith. He knows when you walk through Costco, you can't check out without a receipt. He knows this. And he's committed to take care of us, but he's also committed to this. I want your heart. I want your trust. I want your confidence. And it's the only place in Scripture where he says, test me in this. In Malachi chapter 4. It's the only place where God says, you can try me in this. You can test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. The only place. So God knows that this is an important part of our discipleship. So can we raise our hands again to the Lord? Wherever you're at in your journey. And I want you just to talk to him about trusting him. It might not be money. It might be something else. But there's something that of trust. I can trust you. I can trust you. Some of you might be your health. Can I trust you with health? Can I trust you, Lord, that you're going? Just look, whatever it is, I want you to take about 30 seconds
And just whatever it is, just tell him your heart. We lift out our hands as confession to each other. We're healed. Now let's confess our heart to the Lord. Let's go ahead. As they play, we'll take 30 seconds. Things I want to ask and then we'll be done. One, I want Jesus has given an invitation to relationship with him. So either online or here in this room this morning, if you have not come to that place of saying, Jesus, would you, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I want to start a relationship with you. And something within you is like resonating. This is right. That Jesus is the way I've been looking for. Jesus is the one. He's my answer. Then talk to him. Tell him. Confess him. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of these things. And the Bible says that you enter into relationship not only with him, but with a family of believers that are learning and growing to be like him. Secondly, if you say, Mike, I don't know how to do this, I don't have the mechanics of it, or I need to grow in that, please let us know, because we don't want to leave this on the ground and leave this frustrated. We want to learn to be discipled because Jesus loves us so much that his heart is, life is found in full, in every area of our life, aligning up with how his kingdom works and his righteousness. And we would love to help that way as well. Let me pray for you. Let me bless you. We're going to end with a song. If there's anything you need prayer for, please come up and we'd love to pray for you, agree with you. Father, I'm grateful that you don't shy away from anything. And Father, I thank you that serving you, it's not really complicated. It comes back to trust. It comes back to faith, hope, and love. And Lord, that thank you for Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who when we leave this room, he never leaves us, and he's constantly discipling us, constantly challenging us, constantly encouraging us, constantly comforting us, that the noise of mammon, the voice of mammon is so loud right now in our world. Right now, every time we turn the news on, every time we open up Facebook, every time we see, go on YouTube, there is something about mammon that is trying to capture our hearts. So, Lord, we are going to be a people of kingdom. We're going to be a people, Lord, who want to live with generosity of heart, generosity of finances, generosity of forgiveness, generosity of communication, generosity of time, that we are learning, Lord God, that our trust in you leads to generosity. Because like the verse that is well known in our world, for God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't hoard. He didn't withhold. He gave. And let us be a people who give freely of forgiveness, freely of time, freely of finances, freely, Lord, because that's how the kingdom operates. And we close the mouth of mammon when we live the way of the kingdom. So we honor you today. And I thank you for my family gathered today, online and here, who's willing to say yes, Lord, to discipleship. And I bless that because you bless that. In Jesus' name. Amen.